speak a message to us today to encourage us based on the theme compelled by his cause. Compelled by his cause. Amen. And one of the reasons why it's vital today that I share this is because I know that God has got a great plan for you and for our church here in Baldwin County. And I'm hoping today to kind of encourage you, to exhort you, to begin thinking about God's cause for your life. A lot of people are driven by various issues of life, but today I want to remind you today that as believers this morning, we should be compelled and driven by the great cause of Jesus. Amen. So we'll begin with an example here, a little story in the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning at verse number 9. And we're looking into an episode into the life of Peter for just a moment. And you can read this along with me. It just says, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. While they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Notice that God is giving Peter a vision. And you'll have to explain it to Peter as well, because Peter doesn't know what to do with this thing. Verse 12 says, in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And then God's going to speak to Peter, and he says this in verse 13. A voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But notice what Peter said. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, did you notice Peter's response to the instructions of God? Peter actually told God no. He just told him no. And so God's going to give him instructions, but then Peter's going to say no and give an excuse. But a voice came, verse 15, and said to him a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times. And then the object was taken up into heaven again. So let's emphasize verse 13 and 14. Scripture says God told Peter in his vision to rise, to kill, and eat. But Peter said no to God. He said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. See, Peter's interest that moment was not to be obedient to God, or really even to be compelled by his great call from God. In fact, Peter was so busy in that moment defending his own religious practices that he actually told God no. Let's get a hold of this idea this morning, church, because we all have a compelling vision from God. If you don't, this morning is a good opportunity to begin to discover your compelling calls from God. Amen. Instead of getting excited about what God had for him to do, Peter's first inclination was to defend his religious life. And so what Peter had a hard time realizing was that God desired for the gospel to drive his life. And the hope of the gospel was for every person, not just the Jews. And Peter had to process this. But Peter was having a difficult time getting over his own ideas about what life and ministry was all about. See, church, he wasn't being driven by his great compelling call from God. He was being driven by his own sense of piety and his own religious observance. And it took a great vision from God to move Peter from being held down by religion on to being a great life giver of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want us to see something and begin to look inside and ask this question. Just like Peter had a great vision from God that needed to motivate him to get on track with how he was living and what he was living for. What about you this morning? What about all of us? When we look inside and we discover what's really driving our lives, are we living by a great vision from God? Are we compelled by the cause of Christ? Or is it something else that gets you up every day and gets you going every single day? My challenge to the church today is that we all begin to be compelled, to be driven by the incredible cause of Christ, and not be driven by our selfish ambition, not be distracted or driven by the cares of this world, but be compelled by Jesus and what he did for us. Because when he compels us, our lives begin to make a greater difference. Amen, church. Amen. God bless you today. Listen closely to this message, because I don't want us to end up like Proverbs 29:18, a famous scripture that you all know. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's exactly why I'm speaking this word over us today, church. Because I hope that none of us, not one, will be relegated to a life of always looking backward instead of forward. I don't want anybody to be relegated to a life of always talking about the better days, talking about when things were better way back then because of the conditions of some other time. Instead, church, of looking back and being compelled by how things used to be, this morning, let us be compelled by a great vision from God, driven by the gospel of Jesus Christ, fervent in our spiritual gifts, and full of the great belief that God is up to something right now in this day. Not someday then or someday when, but right now, God wants to compel you and I to do something, to stretch ourselves and to get beyond what's going on in our life and be driven by what Jesus did in our lives. Let's make sure that his power and his purpose and his word is having a great effect on our lives so that we can have an effect on the world around us the way that God intends for us to have. Amen. I think sometimes we have a hard time seeing past the idea that God's pleased with the fact that we come to church and we do this stuff and we've got this religion working in our life. But church, let me help you with this. God's word is so clear. God has got a greater purpose for you than just be good at doing Christianity. Just be good at the religiosity of being born again. Yes, we are grateful that today, if you're born again, we're walking in the spiritual condition of being saved. But listen, you're not just saved to skip hell and make it into heaven. You're saved because God's got a purpose for you to do something great in this life right here. That your existence on this earth isn't distracted and downtrodden and beaten up by the world's craftiness and the world's distractions. But no, we're going to be driven and compelled by what Jesus did for us. If you've truly been changed by the cross and the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life, you can't help but tell somebody about what God has done for you. Come on, get with me this morning. I want us to be driven today and compelled. Why? Because I believe with all of my heart in the mission and the purpose of this church in this county. God has got so many hurting people and people who are desperate and looking for God's people to arise and show them the love, and arise and show them the hope, and arise and give them the truth of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if God's people are too busy being sluggish and being dragged around by distractions and cares of this world and being compelled about what happened to them and compelled about what somebody said and compelled by how you feel every day. Listen, we've got to get beyond how we feel and step off in faith and say, you know what, God, I know how I feel. And you know what? My faith is stronger than my feelings this morning. It's time to be compelled and driven by the great power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Not someday, but today, in the name of Jesus. His great cause. See, God has a unique and miraculous plan for you, for me, and for our church family. And hear me on this. God's plan is always better than our plan. How many know I'm right about it this morning? God's plan is always better than our plan. Having a great vision from God. It goes hand in hand with being committed to God's compelling cause. It's the cause of Christ's kingdom. You probably learned in school that principle of cause and effect. You see, just like every cause will have an effect, like every symptom has a source. And so I want you to see this very carefully on the screen. The effect of discovering God's compelling cause for your life is the blessing of God. So Come on, get it in your heart right now. The effect of discovering God's cause, His compelling purpose, is the blessing of God. And so this morning, maybe you're along the way and you're wondering when the blessings are going to come. And maybe you're wondering when you're going to begin to experience what it means to be free and what it means to be blessed by God. Listen, if you'll get your eyes and be off of the world and off of your circumstances and onto what God has for you to do and be compelled and be driven by the cross and the cause of Jesus Christ, you'll begin to experience amazing blessings. Because the things that are holding you back will become less important to you than the things that God has for you to do. All throughout the scripture, we can read of the many people who discovered God's vision and His cause. And we see how their lives were changed once they embraced God's compelling cause for them. For example, Abraham. When Abraham answered the cause of God, he became the founder of faith and he became the father of many nations. I've been referring to Gideon a lot lately. See, Gideon was hiding out, threshing wheat in the wine press. But God found him and made him a mighty man of valor. Even David is another example. David's own father did not even consider him worthy, didn't think enough of him to even include him in the lineup of sons to be examined by Prophet Samuel. But God had a compelling life for David. And when David answered the compelling cause of God, he became the giant slayer. He became Israel's great king. He became the great giver of psalms. Another example is Elisha. And you all know the story. Elisha, when Elisha was found by God, the Bible says that he was found yoked together with oxen plowing in a field. And when he followed God's great cause, the Bible says Elisha became one of the greatest miracle workers in all of the Bible. See, when we embrace his cause, our destiny begins to change. And the list goes on and on. In the New Testament examples, we find simple fishermen going about their daily work, but Jesus found them where they were. And when they said yes to the compelling cause of Jesus Christ, the Lord made those simple fishermen great fishers of men. And those fishermen that day became the early church fathers. They became miracle workers. They became the writers of Holy Scripture. God takes us from one condition when we embrace and get behind what He's doing and what He's called us to do. See, why am I preaching it to this church this morning? Because I so believe that we are just getting started in the ministry in Baldwin County and Locksley Church. See, somebody might be thinking, Pastor, this church has been around a long time. And it has. Church has been here a long time, but in a lot of ways, listen, with the current vision that God is giving us, Locksley Church is just now beginning what God has in store in this county for us. Amen. We can't spend all of our time looking back, wondering, and thanking God for our heritage. And we do have a wonderful heritage here, but we also need a great vision. Because we got to be careful not just to have a heritage, but also have a great legacy. If we're not careful, we can build a great heritage and forget about the legacy. See, the heritage is what happened then. The legacy is what's coming. How many realize we don't just need to worry about back then? We need to be concerned about what's coming. Come on. Amen. That's why I'm broadcasting this vision today, to help us understand that you as an individual, God's got a great purpose for you. And He's got a compelling cause for your life. But also corporately, as the members of this one body at this church, you better believe that God has got a great purpose for this church. And when we all come together pursuing our individual cause for Christ, it just so happens that the church arises and begins to do things that somebody said can never be done. Why? Because God's in control. And if we get enough people compelled by His great cause, then you better believe there's no ceiling to what His local church can do. Come on. If you know I'm right about it, give Him a praise right now. Come on. Even Saul, when he embraced that great compelling cause of Christ, Saul, the persecutor of Christians, the one who oversaw the stoning of Stephen, God's first martyr. When Saul embraced his compelling cause, Jesus did some things in Saul's life. He changed his name, he changed his destiny, and he became Paul the Apostle, the great giver of Christian doctrine. He became the great missionary to the world, and perhaps even the greatest evangelist and church planter who ever lived. Paul is an example right there of everybody who believes what the enemy lies and tells them, that just because you've got a past, God can't use you. Let me tell you, let's just pull that lie down right now. If Paul's overseeing the killing of Christians and Jesus is willing to forgive him, he'll forgive you and use you to do mighty exploits for God, just like he used these simple people in Scripture. Come on. All of these and countless more. These examples from Scripture demonstrate how God takes ordinary people and transforms them into extraordinary life givers and difference makers with their life. Amen. Come on. That's happening to me right now. It's happening to you right now. You may be reasoning within yourself this morning when we look at these examples and say, hey, Pastor Brandon, those were Bible people. And God was, he gave them Bible results. Well, I understand that. But let me encourage you with this word today. That when you and I, when we embrace the compelling cause of Jesus, and when we live by Bible principles, you can have Bible results in your life too. Let me pause here for just a moment because I want to make sure we get this in our spirit and in our mind. Sometimes people have had so many bad things happen. And for some folks, it's been so long since you've tasted victory. And for so long, it's been too long since you've had any wins. And you start believing that victories and wins are a thing of your past. Let me tell you something right now. Go back to God. Stir up the gifts within you and have faith that God can do it all over again. Amen. And he'll do it in your life. When you live by Bible principles, you can expect Bible results. But here's the truth, church, and here's where a lot of people are. You can't have Bible results if you don't live according to Bible principles. You can't have Bible results if you don't live by Bible principles. See, in the same way that you're going to sow exactly what you reap. The Bible principle for believers this morning is that when we live according to the vision of God and the great compelling cause of Jesus, it will have a life-changing effect on you and the people around you. Yeah. Amen. What do you mean? Well, I want you to understand this morning that you can dream so big for God. I want you to see today that if you're distracted and being driven by the world's cares and burdens, you're always going to be limited. But when you get on board with what God is doing, and when you become to be compelled by the great cause of Jesus, things change. And one of the great changes is this: the Holy Spirit comes to be part of your life, and he changes you. There's no way to avoid it. It's a promise from Scripture. It's just something that it's a spiritual link that we just can't avoid, even if you try to. If you live boldly and live in great faith in the cross of Jesus and are compelled by what he's doing and what he wants you to do, you just can't avoid a powerful life. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says it this way. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Come on. What does that mean? It means if you're born again today, there's a compelling cause, and Jesus didn't just dangle you out there and change you just to be happy and content in your salvation. No, he then turned around and equipped you with power from the Holy Spirit to have faith to step out in great strength and be driven by his causes and compelled to live in the truth of his sacrifice to do what he says to do. Amen. It means for us that we're exhorted to yield to the Spirit's power in our life. How many realize this morning it's the Spirit who is our help? He's our holiness and he's our comfort. As we refuse to live according to the old patterns of the flesh, it's his Spirit. He inhabits us. He invigorates us. He ensures every believer. And when he does, he enables us. He enables the victorious Christian life apart from the old life in the world. If you're stuck this morning spinning your wheels about what to do and how to feel, if you used to dream big for God and you used to have aspirations of becoming great for the Lord and engaging in ministry and doing awesome, wonderful things with your life, but just been so long and now you just don't know if you can do it, let me tell you this, in your own power, we can't do anything. But God's deposit of his Spirit in our life ensures that you are built up and you are equipped and you are ready to pursue the compelling cause of God in your life. These amazing benefits. The power of living with God's great vision is so persuasive I love being around people who are driven by God's purposes. Don't you? I love being around people who are compelled by God's great cause. His cause. The cause of the cross. It's so highly emotive. It causes emotion in people. One way or the other. You ever notice that nobody can be impartial about Jesus? In fact, just the mention of his name will always stir up some kind of emotion of people. Sometimes negative when they're running from the Lord, but sometimes positive when they know they need him. You just have to say his name and look at the people around you. Because they're either going to start rejoicing with you and lean in and say, hey, Jesus. Or they're going to furrow their brow and get mad at you for saying Jesus. That's the world we live in. It's always been that way. Here's a good example from Scripture. And you notice that the same people on that first Palm Sunday were the people who were laying down, shouting Hosanna, laying down palm branches as Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem. Those are the same people about a week later who were screaming for his crucifixion. Amen. His name will always induce some kind of emotion. Amen. Because it's a powerful name. Let me pause because I didn't get a good enough amen on that one. His is a powerful name. Come on, somebody. Amen. His name is above every name. He's the one. He's the one who ought to compel our lives. He's the one who ought to drive our thoughts and drive our dreams. He's the one who ought to help us and remind us that with God, all things are possible. He's the one. He's the one who paid it all so that we could be changed, to give us direction, to give us guidance, to give us a destiny that transcends the destiny that we carve out for ourselves. Because his plan is always greater than our plan. Amen. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen this morning. Amen. Three quick things, the power of living with Christ's compelling cause. Three effects. First of all, number one, the cause of Christ establishes our convictions. You can read this on the screen. The cause of Christ establishes our convictions. See, one of the problems I've observed in our society is that intentional agenda that's present today to remove the concept of God and Christ from this generation. Have y'all not noticed this? The world is working hard not just to convince people they don't need Christianity, but to remove the concept of God from people's lives altogether. But here's the deal with it. Without God and his word, people are left to their own devices and their own ideas to establish their own moral boundaries. And it's a tragedy. Because when people establish their own morals, they'll always end up serving themselves. And that means that people become too open for suggestion on what's right and wrong. In fact, it's now become a moral value in the young generation today. It's become a moral value in our society to be more, quote, open-minded about issues instead of being absolute about what is true. They value open-mindedness. Let me tell you this, because if somebody accuses you of being closed-minded, you should take that as a compliment today. Because there are some things that we should absolutely be closed-minded about. Amen. Anything that separates you from God. And the result of this kind of society is that people don't live with great convictions. But really, when we live compelled by his cause, we still know what it means to have convictions. We still know what it means to have absolute truth concerning moral matters. His compelling cause. Number two, the cause of Christ establishes our priorities. Not only does the cause of Christ establish our convictions, but the cause of Jesus establishes our priorities. See, when we live compelled by the gospel, we know what comes first and what comes next. There are priorities in place in our life that become non-negotiables. Things like worship, things like prayer, family, work, Christian service, discipleship, sharing Jesus with others. See, without his cause as our driving motivation behind every day, our priorities can get displaced by excuses, by worries. I had a conversation with some people yesterday about the effects of the pandemic on the church. And I talked to so many people over the last year whose churches really struggled because folks got accustomed to staying at home and watching online instead of just coming to church. It's an excuse at this point for a lot of people. So I'll tell people today in this service, just like I told them in the early service, if you're watching online today, and you're online today watching for a health-oriented reason, and you just don't feel comfortable, God bless you. We pray for you and believe God to give you strength. We're so glad you're watching. But if you're at home watching today because you've grown comfortable and it's more convenient for you just to stay home, that's an excuse. Yeah. Why don't you just get on up and come be a part of the family of God once again? We love you. We need you. We miss you. We want you to come back to church, get plugged into what God is doing. Now's the time to have courage and come back and get plugged in to the life of God here at the Live House of God. Amen. Aren't you glad about it, church? Amen. We can do it. Not excuses. Number three, the cause of Christ sets our standards. Amen. Establishes our convictions and establishes our priorities when we're compelled by Jesus and his cause for our life. But also, it sets the standard of our life. When his cause is what drives our life. We always have an abiding knowledge of how costly his sacrifice really was. It means that there's a standard of excellence and an importance and urgency. There's a desire to please the Lord in all we do. Without his cause as our driving force, we can become distracted by pleasing people and by petty temporal issues that have no eternal value. I talk to people all the time, and maybe they come to me and they want to know, well, I feel this way or that way about this issue or that issue. And I want to tell them, and my heart doesn't let me do it because I love folks and it wouldn't be very courteous. But what I want to do sometimes is lean into people and tell them, don't you realize that this issue that you're hung up on, this thing that happened or this thing, don't you know how completely irrelevant this thing is relative to eternity and things that matter? Sometimes things just don't matter. Being compelled by the cause of Christ enables us to filter the things that matter for the things that don't matter. It sets our standards for our attention. We'll do things with excellence. We'll live according to Colossians 3 and 23. It just says this, and whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Thank God. Finally, this morning, I want us to see that this, your compelling calls from Jesus, your great vision from God, will always be linked to his vision for the local church. And not individually, but linked to his church. You know, when you are aligned with the local church, you're aligned with an unbreakable, unshakable force. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 16, 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. See, here's a promise from God about those people who are plugged in to the life of his church. He said this in Psalm 92. This is from him. He said, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. Don't you want to flourish? Amen. Well, you know what? Be planted in the house. Everybody say that. Say planted in the house. Be planted in the house. And this is a great opportunity for me to encourage anybody here or watching online that if you want to flourish, you got to be planted. I've talked to so many people over the years who are looking back over the course of their life of 15, 20, 25, 30, even 40 years, wondering why their ministry never took shape, wondering why they never experienced great blessings or why they've had shaky relationships, and wondering why things always seem to come to a halt and they have to make change. And I tell you this, if you'll stop making changes in churches and be nailed down and planted in the house, God can start blessing you. Can y'all understand this? And let me say, this is a real deep theology right here, right now, but I can tell everybody. If you're tired of starting over, stop quitting. Y'all think about that one. Y'all chew on that one. If you're tired of starting over and something, stop quitting. I'll leave it right there. Come on. Amen. If you receive it, say a good amen. Come on. Amen. God bless you today. When enough of us become compelled by his cause, that's all of us. Some very, very special things happen in the local church. And here it is. Three quick things. When we become committed to his compelling cause, enough of us in this room, three expectations that we can have. Number one, here it is. We will enlarge and expand. Aren't you glad? When enough of us become compelled, when we get excited about God's compelling calls for our lives. There's no ceiling to what can happen in and through the local church. Here's the truth. People will make the shift in their thinking. When His cause arises to the forefront of most of our lives, here's what will happen. You'll no longer be asking what can't happen because of lack and circumstances. And you'll start asking this question, what can happen because we're compelled by His vision? Hear me out, church. There's a huge leap in church when enough people stop asking about what we can't do and start asking about what we can do. This is what faith does. Amen. Number two, we'll all begin to discover and maximize our spiritual and ministry gifts. How many realize this morning that God didn't save you and call you to sit and be a consumer of church? No, He has gifted you, each one, the Bible says. Each one with great spiritual and ministry gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says it this way. It just says, you all have received ministry and spiritual gifts from God, from His great variety of spiritual gifts. So use them well to serve one another. Thank God. If nobody's ever told you, you are gifted by God. You are gifted by God with spiritual gifts. Let me say it one more time. You are gifted by God. And maybe you've been in church a long time and nobody ever told you that, because, and sometimes churches don't broadcast that into people's life because they don't have time to develop. Listen, we're going to be committed to developing your spiritual gifts in this church and really creating opportunities for you to serve, because that's what the New Testament says to do, and that's how churches turn the worlds upside down. Churches don't turn the worlds upside down with a handful of people controlling everything. No, churches turn their community upside down when a high percentage of the local church begins to realize, I'm gifted by God. God's got a great purpose for me. I'm driven by God's design and His purpose and compelled by His great cause in my life. Come on now. That's how we're going to do it in Jesus' name. Number three, all of us will be strengthened in character and integrity. The purpose of the ministry in Ephesians 5, and this is from last week's message. The purpose of the ministry exists in your life, the Bible says, is so that you will be equipped to do the work of the ministry. That means spiritual maturity, growth, learning, strengthening, realizing. In the Old Testament, I'm almost done. In the Old Testament, Gideon was amazed that God wanted to use him as a deliverer of Israel, because he only saw himself as inferior and small. But God knew the potential that He had blessed Gideon with. And He used him. He did great exploits for God. So, church, being compelled by Christ's cause, it has the capacity to remove all of those negative things and all of those defeated thoughts that you have about yourself. Takes you to a new level, being compelled by Him. Because those things that held you back and those things that happened to you, those things that have been preventing you for a long time from stepping out and being driven and compelled by God's cause for your life, those things will become less important to you the more compelled you are by Him. Amen. And it'll be an amazing life. Close with a quick story. We're going to pray for the sick today before we go and believe God to help you take those next steps. We know of a young woman. I have a great relationship with her and her family. A precious young woman from a previous ministry assignment. And I want to tell you about her, what happened. She was very, very faithful to church. Beautiful young woman. Had three of the most precious kids. She was faithful to church, and she would come and she would sit quietly in the house, and she would just worship God kind of unto herself and didn't say very much. She's very quiet. She didn't interact with people very much in the church. She just kind of stayed off to herself, and she'd kind of come in quietly and she'd kind of leave quietly, and she didn't say very much. One day I approached her after church, and I had been ministering on similar vein as this today, helping people understand great vision and God's call of their life. And I came up to her and I I told her that I knew that God had a plan for her and that she could get a big vision from God about her life. And I told her those things. And here's what she did. I'll never forget it. She just looked at me and she said, "Really? You think God can use me? Really?" And it was so sincere. I knew that she was really in a situation where she didn't know that God could use her. And I'm going to tell you why she felt that way. I knew that she had some things in her past that the religious people, the religious crowd in the community had used against her to make her feel inferior and unworthy. She had made some mistakes, and some of those mistakes weren't even her fault. She was kind of living and having to endure things, but she had convinced herself that she was discounted. She was disqualified because of her past and some things that had happened. That's why she looked at me and said, "Pastor, really? You really think God can use me?" And I'll never forget that moment, because I really believe that God could use her. I told her that it was okay to ignore those religious people and those hypocritical people who are denying their own past and casting negativity on her. Just ignore those people, because then once you repent, you're not that old person anymore. You're a brand new person. Come on. I told her to ignore those folks. Set out and be compelled by God's great vision for her life. And so I asked her this. I said, "Of course I believe God can use you." And so I asked her, I said, "What would you like to do for God? What would you like to do for God?" She started smiling immediately. And that let me know she really had a vision. She really did want to do something great for God. She started, her face lit up as if she finally began to see that God's vision could potentially take place in her life. And she started to get happy about it. And here's what she said. She said, "I've always had a dream of starting a girls' ministry." Really? A girls' ministry. I got excited right alongside with her. That's a key right there, church. Listen. That is a huge key in the body. Getting excited right along with somebody when they get a great, compelling vision from God. You know, it's so much easier to get courageous about stepping out and making a difference when you know you got a partner and somebody that's supporting you, and not somebody that's going to tear you down and diminish you. But man, when you know somebody's right there with you, and if nothing else, they believe along with you that God will bless it. Come on, amen. You see, I got love curling up next to somebody and sharing in their great vision from God. So I told her, "You just do it. You do that girl's ministry. I believe God's going to use it." She got excited. So before long, listen, she was transformed. She began to bloom for God and bloom in the church. She kept coming in and greeting people, becoming more demonstrative in her worship. She began to be more joyful. She became a vocal leader and began to interact with everyone. She started that girls' ministry on Wednesday nights, and her girls' ministry grew, and it began to grow and grow, and I was so proud of her. And her breakthrough came when she released herself in faith to dream big and be compelled by what God had for her to do. And when she exercised that courage to do it, to defy religion, defy people who said she couldn't do it, defy criticism, and begin to function in her great purposes. She began to live in life compelled by God's great cause. Come on, somebody. Come on, if you're glad about it, give God a praise. Y'all stand up with me. Give Jesus the praise.